Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming to City Bible Church. We're really glad to see you. It's so good to be together. I'm hoping that you had a good Thanksgiving week and time with family. I know sometimes it can be a little bit crazy. That's why they make the movies. You never know quite what to expect, but we're going to dive into our topic for this morning. If you could grab your Bibles and let's just get ready to dig in. Let's open up with a word of prayer this morning just real quick. God, I just thank you for who you are. Lord, you're a wonderful God. I thank you that we can come together and sing your praises today. Lord, I thank you for who you are and what that means to us. Lord, you're a good God. You're a big God. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to dig into your word, that we would be hearers of the word and doers of the word. Lord, I thank you for this season and for the gift that Jesus is to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to just grow in our generosity. I thank you for your love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to start off a new series this morning for the month of December that we're going to call The Gift. And kind of appropriate time of year as we're coming into the month of Christmas. I don't know if you're excited about that. Maybe you have the same rule that my wife has, and that is that after Thanksgiving, it's time to listen to Christmas music. So I don't know if that is the same for you or not. But that's definitely what's going on in our house. It is the month of Christmas. Our kids are so excited. And, you know, the cool thing is that they're excited about the activities, about the things that we're doing and have planned to do, not just gifts and things of that nature. So I'm really happy that they're thinking that way as opposed to just thinking about presents. But, you know, as it's tends to be, you know, for all of us, Christmas is a time of year where we do give gifts, and that's a big part of the fun. And so that's why I thought we would talk a little bit about the gift. I don't know if you remember that from your childhood. You know, I want to be sensitive. I know that everyone has a different life experience when it comes to the holidays, and I know for some it can bring up memories of difficult things. But when we're talking on the fun side of Christmas and celebrating the good stuff and the stuff that lasts, you know, you have to think a little bit about the giving of gifts and what that means and the fun that that really can be. When you become a parent, you definitely learn a little bit more about that saying, you know, it's better to give than to receive. It's definitely true as a parent. So much fun to give our kids gifts. I just love it. It's a blast. It's great to just see their faces light up and all the anticipation and all the excitement and as they get ready for it. And I don't know if what it was like for you, but for us, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we would have a Christmas tree and there'd be, you know, presents under the Christmas tree all wrapped up. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I would maybe go over and sneak over there and pick up one of those boxes and maybe give it a little bit of a shake and maybe even, you know, tap it, shake it, you know, smell it, maybe try to hear what's inside, hold it up to your ear. You know, I don't know what we're expecting with that, but, you know, or maybe even try to peel away a little bit of the corner of the wrapping paper and try to peek and, oh no, you know, tore the wrapping paper and then, you know, you're in trouble. You know, you're going to get in trouble for having tried to peek. But, you know, that's part of the fun of the Christmas season, is that giving of gifts and that anticipation for that and wondering what's going to be in there. You know, you're hoping that when you shake it, you're not hearing socks. You know, you're hoping that it sounds a lot more like Legos or something else. But, you know, that's definitely a big part of it for all of us. Is that giving of gifts and having fun with that, really enjoying that, blessing each other, serving each other, really just celebrating life, celebrating friends and family during this time. I know that most of us are learning how to live on less. And so sometimes that can almost make it in such a way where when we live on less, we are taking each Christmas present that we're thinking about now And it means a little bit more. So it's almost like there's more preparation. There's more thought to it. When you don't have as much money to spend, then you really need to give some careful thought to, okay, so what's that gift going to be? And how am I going to make the most out of what we do have? And how are we going to, get the most bang for your buck, so to speak, or find something that's meaningful? And you probably have heard the phrase, it's the thought that counts. And there's really something to that. When somebody maybe just remembered at the last possible second as they were headed out the door that there was a gift that they were supposed to bring to the party. Maybe it turns out to be a Subway gift card, or maybe it's something in the dollar section at Target, or even the dollar store. Something that has nothing to do with you and anything that you might like. There's a big difference between that and when you get a gift where it's obvious that someone put a lot of thought into it, where they were paying attention to you during the course of the year and when you might say that you really might like to have this, that, or the other, or where you really commented on how much you like that, maybe how much you liked a person's watch or a shirt that they were wearing, or a book that you wish that you could read, or an album that you wanted to listen to, or a movie or something like that, or even more meaningful, more on the expensive side, something that would last. I know that with my wife, Rebecca, one of her, love languages is that, she does appreciate, the smaller gifts, things that are edible, like, probably one of her favorite food gifts is salted caramels. She loves those. But she's a very generous person, of course, so anytime you get her that, she's going to give them away. She's not going to hoard them. She's going to, wait until people are over at the house, and then when people are over at the house, which is on a regular basis, then that she'll open that box and it'll be gone pretty quick, And she appreciates flowers, she appreciates cards and things of that nature, but I learned in the early years of our marriage that the kind of gifts that meant the most to her were gifts that would last a long time. The funny thing is that early on, as I started to kind of figure this out, one of the gifts that seemed to mean the most was this winter coat that I bought for her that just seemed, I was surprised. It meant a lot to her. It was something that she held on to for a long time. And another would be a particular watch that she just loved. It was the kind of thing that she could wear every day and the kind of thing that would last a long time. And then the same thing with, her rings. She doesn't want a whole bunch of jewelry that would be the kind of thing that would just be okay for one outfit. She's more interested in something that she could wear a lot and often, and the kind of thing that would last a long time. And that, that's just the way she's wired. And so for me, as I think about what gifts that I'm going to give her and how I want to bless her and how I want to serve her, I want to be thinking about what are the things that she would like. I'm not going to give her, season tickets to the Orioles games, or I'm not going to give her, even necessarily a car, or something else, furniture or a vacuum cleaner, or she's not going to be excited about that. That's not going to be something that is going to get her going. What's going to get her going is going to be different kinds of things. And so I want to really make sure that any gift that I give her, that I'm putting thought into it. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've run into this, in your own life, but it's definitely true. When you put thought into a gift where you're thinking about the other person, it makes a difference. And then one of the things that, for a lot of us, and we're going to get to the Bible in just a second, don't worry about that, but one of the things for a lot of us is that this time of the year can be pretty exhausting because of all the shopping and everything that we're doing. Because when you really think about it, a Christmas gift takes time out of your day. You've got to go shopping. You've got to go do it. Even if you're going online and you're doing your shopping online, and it takes energy. It takes energy to think about what you want to do and how much you want to spend, or what they might like. It takes energy. Maybe, heaven forbid, you got to go drive to the store and fight the crowds and the malls and all that, headache. And it takes money. I mean, giving gifts takes time, energy, money. It costs you something, right? You got to set aside. You got to live on less. Maybe you do your Christmas shopping all throughout the year, but if you do it in December, you are choosing to live on less of your time, energy, and money to give somebody a gift. It requires thought. It requires preparation, but it's fun, right? It's a lot of fun. I remember one of the gifts that I loved the most as a little kid was this big wheel that my parents got for me. I don't know if you remember what these are. They're basically like a trike. But you'd sit down really low. You'd sit down really low to the ground, and it had two short little fat wheels on either side of you, and it had one big wheel in the front, and you just pedal, and you had a steering. You'd steer just like you were on a bicycle. And then this thing had like an e-brake, and you could just, I'd get up as much speed as I possibly could get going down the sidewalk, and then you'd throw that brake and peel out. And I had so much fun on that big wheel. I remember that as a gift, and I'm sure that my parents, when they got me that gift, they really enjoyed how much fun I had on that big wheel. I'm sure that they laughed. I'm sure that they really enjoyed it because I got a lot of mileage on that thing. Well, when we, Jesus even talks about the analogy with us as parents and God as a parent. He says, if your child is hungry and asks you for bread, are you going to give them a rock? No, you're going to give them bread. And he says, how much more so, even you being evil, he says, as parents, you wouldn't do that for your own child. How much more so would God in heaven do that for you? He wants to give you good gifts. Amen? God wants to give you good gifts. God is a giver of gifts. And, we don't have time this morning to get into the whole, Trinity and God the Father and God the Spirit and God the Son. But we want to talk a little bit this month about how Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is what we are celebrating in Christmas. It is Christ Mass, right? I mean, and that's what we're celebrating. We are celebrating what Jesus means to us. We're celebrating how Jesus has changed our life. Jesus really has made it all different. And that should really change even how we celebrate Christmas, because the birth of Jesus is a gift to us. And it was a gift that was prepared. It was prepared before the beginning of time. And just as much as Christmas gifts require thought, planning, action, and cost us something, the gift of the birth of Jesus required on the part of God thought, planning, action, and cost. It's really where God gave us His best. Stop and just think for a second. What would your life really be like if Jesus were not real? If you didn't know that your sins were forgiven, if you didn't have faith in God and the love, the hope, the peace, the joy that comes from God, if you couldn't consider heaven to be a reality, how would your life be different? I don't even want to think about that. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the gift that means so much. And He is the gift that was prepared. Jesus came, you see, as the Messiah. He came to be God with us. He is the help is on the way gift. Jesus was the Messiah, the help is on the way Messiah. And He was a Messiah who was predicted. So turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. You go right to the middle of your Bible, the fast food section where you find Psalms and Proverbs, and you take a right-hand turn to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Everyone doing okay? All right, Isaiah 53. Now, we got to remember that a Messiah is defined as an anointed one. An anointed one. See, in the ancient times, there was a custom of consecrating priests, prophets, and kings by anointing them with oil to say, now, you know, you are anointed for this office, this function, this work. And what we understand is that Jesus functioned as each of these, a priest, a prophet, and a king. You see, in the Old Testament, there are nearly 300 references to the coming Messiah. 300! All of these were fulfilled in Jesus. They establish a really good confirmation or credentials, if you will, that Jesus is the Messiah. And you're talking about over 300 references. And remember, we've talked before, in the 24 hours surrounding his death, there were 29 Old Testament prophecies that were filled just in that 24-hour period about his betrayal, trial, defeat, and burial. And so when we look at that, Isaiah 53 is maybe one of the most famous of those. And so let's just read that chapter together. Now I'm going to read that chapter today from the New Living, okay? Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. It was God's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier. Because he exposed himself to death, he was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. God prepared for us a Messiah, a gift of the help that we need. God knew, he saw at the beginning of time where we were. And he started to prepare a gift for us. So it's appropriate for us to stop and consider, what does a help is on the way, Messiah, predicted? What does that say to us? What does it say that Jesus is a Messiah that was predicted? What does it say to us that Jesus is a gift that was a help is on the way, Jesus? What does that say to us? What does that communicate to us? And Isaiah 53 has something to say to us. It's a famous passage of scripture. It's where we get the idea that Jesus wasn't necessarily the most charismatic, best-looking guy in his class growing up in school. He wasn't the tallest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the most attractive. He wasn't the kind of person that would, you know, run for president. Well, I guess it doesn't really work because the candidates aren't exactly the most attractive. But I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, you know, he wasn't running for American Idol or whatever. You know, Jesus wasn't the most attractive. And we're reminded in this passage of scripture that's quoted later that the people that were there and that were alive at that time, they turned their backs on him. They looked the other way. They didn't care. They despised him. Jesus knew what it was to be despised and rejected. There's no rejection that you could be going through in your life right now that Jesus doesn't already know what that's like. He knows. Such an interesting verse 4. It was our weaknesses he carried. See, I think it's easy for us to just come to a point of mentally believing or thinking that we believe, agreeing that, okay, Jesus came and he died for our sins. But we don't even think about what all that means. I mean, yes, functionally it's true that the sin that we are born into, our mistakes, our sins, our breaking God's will, breaking God's law, the sin nature that we're born into, yes, it's true that those things separate us from a holy God, and that God cannot be one with that, and that we needed a Savior, that we needed redemption, but I think we don't fully digest the fact of what that means, and that when Jesus went to the cross, it was our weaknesses he carried. Our weaknesses. Next it says, it was our sorrows that weighed him down. You know, I know that, you know, during this month, my grandfather, who lost, you know, his wife over this past year, is going to be again reminded at Christmas time that she's gone. You know, thankfully, you know, she's in heaven, but I know that it's difficult for him. And that even as he's standing in faith, it's a hard thing to do. And there are many other things. You know, some people give their whole life toward a career, for example, and then they get laid off and they can't find work in that career ever again. And it's a sorrowful thing. Other people go through divorce or go through difficult times in their life and they don't. It's easy to not consider the fact that Jesus carried our sorrows. That when he went to the cross, he carried our sorrows. Listen, don't make the mistake of becoming an unbelieving believer. Come on, stop today and consider, what does it mean that Jesus was a Messiah that was predicted? Why would God the Father speak through the prophets to describe what Jesus would do for us? He knew that we would need help in understanding what Jesus really means. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Does anyone need healing today? Jesus was beaten, he was whipped, so that we could be healed. There's power in the blood of Jesus. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. God wasn't after us to punish us. God sent us the salvation that we so desperately need. He was oppressed and treated harshly. He didn't say a word. He had done no wrong. He didn't try to defend himself. He accepted it. Verse 10, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Jesus is a sacrifice for us. He is the gift for us. It was predicted, it was prophesied that he would be that for us. You see, his life is an offering for sin. And what's so important for us to remember is that he did it for a reason. Verse 11, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. Because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sin. Not some, not the things that you think are easy for him to forgive, but all of their sin. All. He bore it all. And for many to be counted righteous, remember that word righteous means to be in right relationship with both God and man. Jesus made it possible for us to be made righteous. It's so important that we understand a little bit of what this means. The Old Testament prophesied, there's so many different things that people spoke about who Jesus would be, what he would mean. We don't have, unfortunately, time to go into all of those prophecies today, but I would encourage you to dig in. So many different things were predicted, down to the fact that he would be born in Bethlehem and presented with gifts, that he would be a prophet, a priest, a king, and his genealogy. So many different things that were predicted about the fact that he would be fully God and fully man, the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ. This is a really good reminder for us that Jesus the Messiah was predicted for 1,000 years. Even better for us to learn from watching the heart of God revealed through his work over the centuries. Well, okay, so this was God's redemption plan from the very beginning. So what does that tell you about his love for you? And do you really believe it? So a few quick points for us to consider this morning as we close. What does a help is on the way, Messiah predicted, say to us? Well, number one, it says that Yahweh God is alive and active. Remember, we believe in a God that has the personal name. The personal name of God is Yahweh. Yahweh means God the Creator. He created the world. He created you. And God the Redeemer, he redeems us, that which gets broken, that which we break on our own. God repairs it. He restores it. He redeems us. So our Creator Redeemer God is alive and he's active. He sees and he saw what would come, and so he prepared a gift for us, the gift of Jesus. Number one, God is alive and active. Number two, he sees the fix we're in. Just like me when I was a little kid, you know, in a grocery store, dropping a jar of pickles in the aisle, broken glass and pickles everywhere, and the pickle juice, and nasty pickle juice, you know. You think, standing there as a kid, how can I even fix the jar? And even if I could have fixed the jar, get all the pickles back in, I couldn't get all the pickle juice off the floor. That's what our sin is like. You know, in some ways, God saw. He sees the fix we're in. One verse from the Message says there's two kids in a mud puddle, can't clean each other. God knew that we wouldn't be able to fix ourselves and fix the sin and the brokenness. Number three, he doesn't want us trying to work our way out of it. If God prepared Jesus, the gift, he knew that we couldn't, and he didn't want us to try to work our way out of it. Try to fix it ourselves. Try to be our own savior. God doesn't want that. Get it out of your head. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want you to try to fix it yourself. Number four, if Jesus is the Messiah that was predicted for us, if he really is the gift, that says that God has prepared a way for us. You know that people that were believers in Jesus, they weren't called the church. They weren't called Christians until after they were called people of the way. They were called people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And even you maybe have seen that classic sketch to just illustrate our situation where on one side you have us And then there's this big chasm that separates us from the other side, the other cliff, being God. You know, and just like, you know, with the old cartoons with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, where, you know, you can't cross that chasm. You can get up every speed. You can strap a rocket to your back like Wile E. Coyote, but you're always going to fall down into a cloud of dust. That sin that separates us from God, Jesus was the gift the Messiah predicted that was the way to cross that chasm of sin for us to be reunited with God. God prepared a way for us. The way is Jesus Christ. And if we are followers of Jesus Christ, that means that we are crossing on Jesus. He's the way for us. God prepared the way. Number five, His redemption is complete. If God spent all this time, all this energy preparing Jesus, the gift, help is on the way, a Messiah predicted, then His redemption is complete. It's done. You don't need to do anything more to earn God's favor, to earn your salvation. You can't do anything more to earn it. You can't. It's done. Forget about it. It's done. It's complete. You are redeemed. You are made whole. You are forgiven of your sins. Of how many? All. All. You are forgiven of your sins. You are forgiven of your sins. Your sin, your redemption is complete. Number six, He wants us to accept the gift. God didn't prepare Jesus as the gift just so that we could talk about Him. Hello? He didn't prepare Jesus as the gift. He didn't send Jesus to be the gift just so we could shake the box. Smell it, tap it, shake it, peel back the wrapping paper. God didn't send Jesus to be the gift for us to walk around the house or go out to the neighborhood. I mean, how sad would it be if our kids, after Christmas holiday, went back to school and said to their friends, "Hey, did you have a good Christmas?" "Yeah, I had a good Christmas." "Did you have a good time?" "Yeah, it was great." "You know, did you get any presents?" "Yeah, we got presents." "Well, what'd you get?" "Well, I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know?" "Well, yeah, they're still under the tree." I mean, come on. How sad would that be if we, you know, we prepared the gift, we spent money on the gift, we wrapped the gift, we put thought into the gift, we gave our best, we gave our all, we emptied the bank account for the gift, we put the gift under the tree, and then the kids didn't even open it. But say maybe they were walking around, "Yeah, my parents gave me a gift. I'm a child of the gift. I'm a child of the gift. I'm a child of," you know, what it. But isn't that sometimes what we do with Jesus? We just check a box, like checking a form in our brain. It's a mental assent. We just mentally decide, okay, I'm a Christian. Okay, God's real. Okay, I'll go to church to make me feel better about myself. Okay, you know, that's it. It's good. No! That's not what God wants for us. He extends to us salvation. He extends to us forgiveness, redemption. God wants you to accept the gift. He wants you to open the gift. He wants you to use the gift. He wants you to enjoy the gift, relish the gift. Yes, He wants the gift to become a part of your identity, but He doesn't want you just walking around talking about it. He wants the gift to be real to you. He wants the gift to be something that changes your life, something that you enjoy, something where you can laugh, something that you can celebrate. The fact that your Father gave you a gift. Father God gave you a gift in Jesus, and He wants you to accept the gift of Jesus. He wants you to follow Jesus. He wants you to learn more about Jesus every day. He wants you to speak to Jesus. He wants you to listen to Jesus. He wants you to be changed by Jesus. Anything that I can be dealing with today, unemployment, or even insecurity and not knowing how to do a job if I just got promoted, a struggling marriage, a problem between a child and a parent, a disease, anything that I can be going through today is changed by the gift. The gift brings change. Because if God can provide a way for me to be forgiven of my sins, anything else is easy. Anything else is something that He can fix. Anything else is something He can give me the strength to endure. Anything else is nothing because He can give me the joy, all of the joy that I need to live life every day in a way where other people want to be around me and they're curious about what's going on. Where it doesn't have to be the week after Christmas for them to ask if I got a gift. They can tell that I got a gift because the way I walk around. God wants you to accept the gift today. Is this making any sense to you? I really hope and pray that this week you can dig into your Bible and even just look at the Old Testament and what the Old Testament has to say about Jesus as the gift. And Isaiah 53 is a great way to start. Stand with me, please, as we close. Just so glad that you're here today. I want to close in prayer. And I really hope that this increased in you an appetite for God. Increased in you an appetite to learn more about Jesus. Increased in you an appetite to consider how the fact that Jesus is a gift changes everything else you're facing. So in a second here, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, and as I close in prayer, if you would like prayer today, just put your hand up, or feel free to come forward to the front. We would be happy to pray for you this morning. Myself and some of the team would be happy to pray for you. Listen, God loves you. Look at me for just a second. God loves you. He cares for you. And I know that that's hard to understand. I know that's hard to wrap your brain around. But the truth is, God loves you. He cares for you. God the Father gave you His best in the gift of Jesus. He wants us to accept the gift. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. God, thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. Thank you so much for the gift that Jesus brings in salvation. Thank you for the Bible that helps us to learn more about Him. Help us, Lord God, to consider this and to take action. Help us to pray and read the Word this week, to get closer to you, to accept the gift. God, we love you today. Lord, I thank you for every person that came. And Lord, we're standing in faith, Lord, through this courageous generosity time and believing for jobs. God, I'm just praying for jobs and promotions. Lord, I'm praying that you would provide it, that you'd open a door that no man can open. Lord, that you'd help people to see the right opportunity before them. Lord, and I pray that you'd give each of us faith and courage to receive Jesus as the gift, and that it would change our reality. I thank you for it, God, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here today. We love you, and we're really glad to be sharing life with you. Don't forget about Life Group this week and all the other opportunities that we have to be together. I love you guys. Have a great week.